risen from the dead. Every tongue. Is Lord. God bless you tonight. He is Lord.
Amen.
Glad to know that that I know Him.
Yes.
But above all, I think He knows me.
Amen.
I believe I'm a part of His plan.
Yes.
I trust you've got some assurance in your heart that God's mindful of you.
Yes.
You do believe in God.
Amen.
And He's mindful of you. And if He is, He's got something for you in His mind. And I want you to know it'll be good for you. One thing He says is, little children, it's My pleasure for you to inherit My kingdom.
Amen.
You're an heir of His tonight. You may be seated. God bless you. I guess it's almost impossible for us that live here in Tucson, Arizona, to pay some attention to the weather when it's not bright, sunshiny, and warm. But you know, we do have it so wonderful here. We have no right to complain about when the wind's blowing or howling or the storm's raging, because it's only about less than 1% of the time. I think I read one time where 89% of the time in Arizona, we don't even have a cloud in the sky. That's just unheard of in the rest of the world. And this past weekend, the G7, that's the seven major economic powers of the world, they had an economic conference, and you know, they go to a different area of the world each time to have it. And this time it was Canada's time to host it, and they had it up on the Arctic Circle, one of the most remote areas in Canada. Can you imagine all of these world leaders showing up? And Air Force One landed there, and I think there's a population of 700, and they said the people that live up there, 700 Indians, and they're accustomed to riding their jet skidoos around town with their rifles slung on their back, and Secret Service roped them off and wouldn't let them come into town. But Canada wanted to show the world, or these leaders of the world, you know, what it is to really have bad weather, and then talk about global warming because some of it was melting. And I think God showed them what can do in Washington, D.C. with a double whammy blizzard this week.
Amen.
And this afternoon, I heard on the news that there wasn't very many people working in Washington, D.C. today. But the two senators from Wyoming were doing business as usual. And somebody asked them about it. There wasn't anybody else in town for the newscasters to interview, so they wanted to know, what are you doing here? They said, well, this is not bad weather. This is normal for us in Wyoming. In fact, they had two colleges today and one high school class that visited Washington, D.C. today, and they had the Capitol and all the buildings all to themselves. And even their senators to show them around and show them all, you know, the museums and the Declaration of Independence. And they went into the both chambers of the Congress and the Senate, and they got to go up and sit behind the Speaker's desk and all this. They said, what a wonderful opportunity for us.
Yeah.
And yet, there's people in the world said, I can't get to work. And these people came all the way from Wyoming, because it just, you know, it just goes to show you sometimes what you really, you can find anything to complain about, but if you look at it, you're being blessed.
Amen.
Now, it may be like Caleb said just now, you're going to hear the pastor preach tonight. I mean, after having three Wednesday nights like we've just had, with Brother Robert, with those two sermons on the conflict, and we're beginning to hear the testimonies of the blessing that's been to other people's lives. And then when Brother Newton Bennett preached on love and forgiveness, and which brings to the understanding we have between each other, I thought how wonderful it'd be if we all just really had the love of God in our hearts. And it made me think that Brother Branham said love is the most powerful force on earth.
Yes.
So sometime in the near future, I've got something burning in me that I want to tell you about, that folks just stop and think of the love of God.
Yes. Amen.
How marvelous. The songwriter wrote about it, you know. Something about if the ocean was filled with ink and every quill on earth and every person was a scribe and the heaven was the scroll, you still couldn't write about it.
Amen.
But to understand the love of God, just to begin to comprehend. And the thing is that He loved you before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
And the reason you are what you are tonight is because He chose to love you. I could very easily preach it right now, but if He loved you because He chose to love you, what can you do to make Him love you more? You've heard me say that before. What can you do to make Him love you less? The only thing, folks, is that I guess that's the reason we ask, do you love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
How much more can we love Him? That's where we come up short. I am convinced that I need to finish this series on angels. And the reason is because I think it's important, because I think Scripture's fixing to be fulfilled, or it is being fulfilled, where the prophecies that He is to send His angels and to gather us. And I would say for us to be a partaker of that, we're going to have to believe it. Because the last experience I had, that I have had with this, that I believe was an angel of God, I questioned why can't I go ahead and deliver the things that I feel I've already been shown? And I was told, why tell them if they're not going to believe it? And it's very disappointing and very disheartening to tell somebody something that you really believe that God did it, and then have somebody make fun of it. You take just like this past 2 weeks, I had an experience where I was telling a group of believers that don't come to church here. They had heard that I was going to be the speaker at this prophetic convention that they're going to have here again this year, the last 4 days of February. And asked me what I was accomplishing. And I tried to tell these group of men that, you know, I think everybody has a right to hear.
Yeah.
And maybe I made a mistake. I don't want to say that I cast pearls before swine, but I tried to tell them how these men started out saying Brother Branham was a wonderful man, but... And when I said, well, you see, that's the way they are, you know, they always got the disclaimer, you know. But then I said, but that wasn't the end of the story. And I told him about Brother Joyner's experience where he went what he called to the throne room, and there he saw Brother Branham seated in an elevated position. And he said, I want to talk to him. The voice said, you can't speak to him, but I wanted you to know what I thought of him. And I could tell by the expression on their faces that first of all, they didn't believe Brother Joyner had an experience like that. Now, they believe Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time. But nobody else can have an experience like that in their mind. And from that moment forward, I was wasting my breath. But I pressed ahead, and I told them how the brothers, that after that, they began to ask us for tapes and so forth, and they produced that film and wrote that book, God's Generals, which anybody can get it. It's on the internet and it's for sale. And then I told them about the four that came to see me that Friday 3 years ago when John and I took them to Sabino, and all four of them, independent and separate of each other, felt that an angel of God told them to come see Perry Green. And they deliberately allowed themselves to be booked at the convention in Phoenix that Patricia King gave up there, because they wanted to take the opportunity to come and visit me in Tucson. And it's when they spoke to each other about it that they discovered that each one of them had had a separate experience. Now, when these men came and told me this, I thought of, you know, there was a time when an angel appeared in the house of Cornelius. And what did that angel tell him to do? Send for Simon. And he sent two of his servants after Simon. And what had happened to Peter beforehand? God had given Peter a dream. Rise, slay and eat. And Peter wasn't going to eat that unclean food. That wasn't kosher. But God had prepared Peter, and when these men came and did that, for Peter, a Jew, a leader in the church of Jerusalem, to go to the house of a Gentile and to tell them. And so Peter goes, and he realizes that God has done something, and he said, well, what doth hinder? And so he goes back to Jerusalem, and he tries to explain to the Jewish brethren, who very prejudiced against the Gentiles, look, don't they have a right to hear as much as us?
Yes.
And this was my position with these men. Don't they have a right to hear?
Amen.
And as I began to tell them the things that had happened and how they had allowed me to come to their convention in Daphne and the CDs they'd made and the response we get and what they've done here and so forth, one of them spoke up and says, oh, but they're after the first and the second pull. They'll never take the third pull. And I realized then, you know, that I wasn't going to waste my time anymore. But I wanted to ask him, what is the third pull? Brother Bram said something about it's a secret. He'll die and take it to his grave. But I'm amazed at how many brothers will put everybody else out because they don't have the third pull. But you ask them and none of them will agree on what the third pull is. Brother Branham identified it when he talked about the five times that he spoke the word. And I want you to know that spirit even affects us.
Sure. Amen.
Caleb tonight said, are you ready to hear the word? You realize how many times we emphasize that? It's the word. Because somewhere or another we've got the idea that the preacher, when he comes, he's got what it is. And I understand. But you know, how many of you are ready to hear from the Lord? You see, we've picked up the lingo and the spirit of the thing with it all, but really, whether it comes from me or one of the brothers here, let's just let God speak to our hearts.
Yes.
I would rejoice to hear that God had spoke to one of you at home in your closet.
Yes.
You don't have to come here to get it from me. Because that's what a denomination does. And we have become so denominated that we have put it all either in Brother Branham or our pastor or some leader or somebody who has the word. It's become denominated. But truthfully, don't we need the first pull tonight?
Yes.
Anybody here tonight need healing? Anybody here tonight got secrets on your heart that you'd like for God to help you with? And you know you're needy people. But yet, we almost make fun of anybody who's got that. When the last time Paul Keith Davis was here, he stood right here in his pulpit and told us, he said, now you people have had 40 years to hear William Branham. Will you be patient with us while we listen?
Right.
While we hear? And because they don't say everything exactly the way we do, we write it off. Where is the love of God?
Amen.
So here I am now. I've got a congregation of people. And I've had some personal experiences that if I couldn't place them in the scriptures, I wouldn't even talk to you about them. I don't think that you take and interpret the Bible by a personal experience. But I think you judge your personal experience by what the Bible says. But if God does it this way today, He does it that way every time.
Yes.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if and when I tell you the experiences that I have experienced that I believe was an angel of God, I don't want to be just telling that to enhance my own experience. I want it to be edifying to you. Now, since I have started this, I've asked you people to remember. Has there been times in your life when you've entertained angels unawares? And I'm very pleased with the number of you that have called me or written me a letter or a note or told me in the hallway or behind the pulpit or something that you had this experience. And there's been one thing sort of in common with all of this. And most of you have told me how frightened you were. Scared. That's been the word. You were scared. Well, I want you to know that's scriptural. Because almost every time an angel came, first thing he had to say was, fear not. Be not afraid.
Amen.
Brother Branham himself talks about being frightened. Now not out of appearance or anything else, but I tell you folks, when you really have an experience you don't understand and you don't have faith to put it in a proper perspective because you don't understand that this is God's way, you will be afraid. And neither do I want you to get to the place where I say, oh, I saw an angel yesterday, and oh, one kind of man. I don't think you ever get that away either. In fact, I find when angels did come to people, it's like to Daniel, for 21 days, he wasn't able to talk. But these people who want to have an angelic experience, a supernatural visitation, and go skip to Malou around afterwards and have a celebration, I just question that experience. But the comments you've made about being frightened or surprised or fearful or afraid, that would be humanly normal. So don't belittle that with yourself. Don't condemn yourself for it, because I will tell you the first few times that in me, I looked around to see who was talking or what it was, and I wondered myself. And I will have to tell you that the more I have experienced it, the more comfortable I have become with it, and the more edifying it has become. And I believe as we study what happened to Brother Branham in his life, he got to where he was more sensitive to it.
Amen.
In fact, he got to where he depended on it. I said that to the brothers there. He didn't depend on nobody. I said, well, he said he did. So,
amen.
Brother Branham said, I'm just as helpless as you are. But Paul got to the place where he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want to encourage you to recall your testimonies. I may in the future ask some of you to bring these testimonies. Now you may be nervous and do anything else, but you just tell what happened. And then we as your fellow Christians and believers in this message, we'll sit here and enjoy that, and we will all grow together. There will be times when you will see visibly. Brother Branham did when he saw that one at Green's Mill. I have not visibly seen one in my experiences yet. Now, I have felt a presence. That one up there in northern Arizona, my hair stood on the end. When those explosions occurred and the top blew off the car. And if you'd have been sitting there, you may not have seen or heard anything. But I know what I heard. I know the effect it had on my life. I think more often than anything else that the one of the five senses has been above see or anything else has been I've heard. The first time that I can recall this happening was when it said to me in Beaumont, Texas, if you want to take another step with me, rid yourself of the things that requires your time and presence. And I thought some brother had said it, and I looked around to see who it was. Now, in me studying the scriptures on these things, first of all, Sondra pulled up all the quotes of Brother Branham. I think there's 1,067 pages of it. I don't know exactly how many quotes, but that's how many pages there was. I know it was 2 reams of paper. Then I looked up every scripture. And in the Old Testament, I find there are 13 major events, happenings, individuals that they occurred to. Like the one that happened to Hagar and Ishmael in the desert, then to Abraham, there was those to Moses, the ones to Joshua. Joshua is the first one I know that had any physical contact. He wrestled with it. Moses spoke to it. He spoke to him in a burning bush. And Brother Branham called that pillar of fire the angel of the Lord. But Peter, when he preached about it in the book of Acts, and we'll get into that Sunday morning, Lord willing, he said that the law came by an angel, and 3 different times he mentioned the pillar of fire, the burning bush, and he refers to it as an angel. But in reviewing it today, I noticed in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 20. Now, I'd read this 5 or 6 times, but today it spoke to me. I mean, not a voice, but I mean this verse of Scripture quickened to me, I should say. And here was an event. To fetch about this form of speech, hath thy servant Joab done this thing, and my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel. Now that right there, wisdom of an angel. I'd never realized how much wisdom we have access to. This subject of King Joab was talking about Joab having this, but it was because he had an association with an angel. Now, what does an angel know? According to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know that's a broad spectrum.
Yeah.
You want to know something? The angels know. The only thing I find the scripture says they don't know is the time of the coming.
Right.
But don't you, Can tonight you get an understanding that when you begin this association and you begin to believe on this, that there is an abundance of wisdom that's available to you?
Amen.
Right. I'm going to let that sink in. You got something you don't understand? You can't comprehend it. And you ask the Lord, Lord, help me, teach me. When Daniel wanted to know about Jeremiah's prophecy, listen to Brother Branham tell the story how he dispatched Michael.
Amen.
And he came down and told Daniel. Now, God didn't speak to Daniel and all, but he sent an angel. Daniel, one place called him the man Gabriel.
Right.
So, don't claim ignorance in this thing. Just believe what God has given you. And we're going to see this before we're through with this series of how many times God dispersed these angels to minister to you and I.
Amen.
They even ministered to Jesus. Paul in Hebrews 1:14, the first chapter I read you in this thing, says that they were spirits sent to minister to us. I need all the help that God has given.
Amen.
And if we don't believe in angels, then we've told God, we don't want your help. How many of you people here tonight, the 50 or so of you that's here, that you comprehend, that you would like to understand and know what God's doing at this day and time?
Amen.
And if we'll grasp it, it's the angels that are bringing it to pass. And God has given them to us to help us. And they're not something that's far off, it's fairy tale. They're real.
Amen.
They have been seen. We'll talk about the times when people saw that. When those people went to the tomb, there was two of them sitting there. When he ascended on high, there was two of them standing there watching him.
Right. Amen.
Now, I've not had that experience yet that I'm aware of. But I believe it's possible.
Yes.
But I've been very pleasantly surprised at how many times who you'd wonder, why do they believe in angels? Why do the people sitting around the pool of Siloam for 38 years believe that an angel was going to come down and trouble that water sometime?
Yes.
Something had happened there.
Amen.
And that man had sat there for 38 years. He wasn't the only one to believe that. There were enough other people there that somebody beat him in a pool every time. Now, who was the healer? Jesus. All healing is of God.
Amen.
That angel didn't heal anybody. He just troubled the water, and those people believed it, and it happened.
Because
it fulfilled God's word. But there came a new day when Jesus bore the stripes, and those things were paid in full. To know all things that are in the earth. You recognize everything that's in the Encyclopedia Britannica? You recognize to know everything there is about the nerves in my shoulder?
Yes.
That's been very painful today?
Yes.
I've hurt worse today than I have any day of my life. The pain starts here and goes down here in this shoulder, underneath this arm, here, here, and there. It's hurting right now. And I'm trying to be very careful not to move it or stretch it some way that it shouldn't be. The nerves are damaged, but I'm believing God's going to plug them back together.
Amen.
In the meantime, even though I hurt, I'm going to keep believing.
Yes.
Now, if a therapist can come along as they did Monday and rub that and say they can untangle some of the trauma and so forth and teach me to do an exercise with it, something to stretch it and so forth, I'll do that. But I know who the healer is.
Yes. Right.
Now, in the Old Testament, I told you there was 13 major events and experiences, and three of those were conversations. Manoah and Hezra and Zechariah, they had conversations. And those are of particular interest to me because one of my experiences was that it was a conversation that lasted about 20 minutes. I asked a question and I got an answer, and I would ask a question and I'd get an answer, and then I'd get asked a question, and because the answer was in the scripture of Brother Brown's message, and I would just challenge, okay, you heard that, you know that. And I have tried to be as faithful to write those down so I could remember to share them with you, because a lot of you have asked, Brother Green, what did it say? Well, if an angel from heaven comes and tells me something the Scripture didn't say, I'm not going to believe it.
Amen.
But so far it hasn't been. I've been able to see where Brother Bram said it, or the Scripture said it, but it's made me stop and think, well, why didn't I think of that before? Why didn't I comprehend that before? Why didn't I understand that? It's because we can just get in a frame of mind to where, or my dad would say, we get set in our ways. And the world calls that a rut. You know, car goes down and cuts a rut. But you know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends knocked out of it. If it's a grave, it's got ends in it, and it just go in there and that's it. But you take a rut, it's the same thing. Somebody just gets in a rut and they just stay there. But I think it's time we stopped, and that's what I'm trying to do, is to get us out of these ruts. Get us out of the things that have got us tangled up and bogged down. And look at the simplicity of the gospel. And I think the thing that has helped me with my own understanding of this has been just what the scriptures say in the light of what Brother Branham explains happened to him in his life. And then as I've seen those things, it's come to a place to where when it began to happen to me, then I'd say, well, that's right. And I didn't shut it off. I would believe it and then pursue it farther. Now, in the Gospels, there are, I think, 55 times that the word angel is referred to. And I would say it like the statement I've often made about the resurrection. If you would take the doctrine of the resurrection out of your Bible, you got one so full of holes and gaps that Christianity is nothing. What if Jesus had not risen from the dead? We wouldn't be any different than the other religions. But because he is risen and he is alive, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Christianity is right. That's the proof. Now, it's the same with angels. You take angels out of those 13 people's lives in the Old Testament, and what testimony do they have? An angel went before Abraham. An angel went with him. An angel went with Eliezer. An angel was with Hagar and Ishmael. An angel wrestled with Jacob. An angel was with Moses. An angel with Job, with Gideon. You think about it. David spoke about them. And the other eight or four or five or six that I haven't mentioned. They're going to come to mind right now. But then we go to the New Testament. And I'd never had the thought, well, why did these people sitting around that pool believe in angels? It didn't just start. That's something at 38 years that they believed before Jesus was born.
Right.
And that created a question in my mind. Why could Joseph have a dream and he would say, an angel of God told me? What was it that had happened to Joseph that caused him to believe that? And it happened to him about three times. Don't be afraid to take this woman, and Herod is dead, and don't be afraid to go home, and these men are coming. And each time an angel told him. Well, take the angelic experiences out of Joseph's experience. Take the angel Gabriel out of Mary's testimony. And she's just a young virgin girl that got up one morning and said, I'm going to have a baby. But she said, an angel spoke to her.
Amen.
And people believed her. Well, now, why did Joseph and Mary believe in themselves? Or take the father of John the Baptist. How many times had he gone behind the holiest of holies and did the formal and the ritual he did to go in there and offer that sacrifice one time a year? But this time he went in there and there stood an angel. And that angel told him about his wife Elizabeth. And you're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. Where did Zacharias get the right? Or the audacity to introduce a doctrine or a practice that a supernatural somebody or something met him in that holiest of holies? And he would have come out of there telling them but he couldn't talk.
Right.
But I believe he told Elizabeth. Maybe he had to write it on a slate, which they later on did, but you know what? He stuck with that. He believed that.
Yes.
Because when they wanted to name him, name little John Zacharias the second or something like that, he said, no, his name will be called John.
Yes.
And when he obeyed that, his voice came back. Now, there was a time when these people, something had happened in their life that they believed in angels. You know, no, Herod didn't believe in angels. He should have listened to them. Because an angel touched him one day and he died.
Yeah.
I tell you that because it's a dangerous thing not to believe in them. Especially when God sends you one. Let me just read you a verse or two of scripture about each of these so you'll see that Brother Green's not making these up. Let's look at Matthew 1:20. I'm sorry. Okay, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In a dream, an angel came. Let's look at verse 24 of that same chapter. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now I want you to notice, all of Joseph's happened in a dream. So they don't always happen to everybody exactly alike. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. So it wasn't just in Israel, it was in Egypt that dream could happen too. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. And saith unto him, now this is Satan tempting Jesus. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Well now, the devil, did he know that? That's something David wrote. David wrote it in Psalms in two places. Satan knew that God gave his angels charge over his own. Now, that Satan knows that. You need to know that.
Yes.
You need to know that he will give his angels charge concerning thee. Oh, now, or is that just for Jesus? Or is that just for Brother Branham? You see the reason Brother Branham said to substitute him for Jesus Christ makes him Antichrist? But he said, if you believe Christ dwells in me, I pray you're 100% correct. Now while this is there, the proper word for that would be that Jesus Christ was incarnate in Brother Branham. Now, when somebody gets up and says that they believe that Brother Branham was Jesus Christ reincarnated, I want you to know that's false. I can't help who the brother is, who it is. They don't know what the word reincarnate means. Reincarnate means the first one died and came back in the second one. I want you to know Jesus Christ is still alive.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And what? Don't you know that you and every believer that's filled with the Holy Ghost is the temple of God?
Yes.
That's Christ incarnate in you?
Right.
So are we all reincarnated Jesuses? No. We are human beings that's incarnate with the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, that may not mean anything to us as believers. But you see, when you say that to people who understand and know the definition of the word reincarnate, you make us a very big cult.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And why would a person say that they believe that William Branham was Jesus Christ reincarnate? Because it sounds like that makes Brother Branham important. It makes Brother Branham holy, powerful, righteous. But Brother Branham said that's Antichrist.
Amen. Correct.
That's what you make him.
Yes. Amen.
When you say he is Jesus Christ reincarnate, you, according to Brother Branham's words, are making him Antichrist. Now, I don't make myself popular with the majority of the people in this message when I talk like this, but I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for you.
Yes.
I believe with all my heart that's the reason that I am welcome to go among people who don't follow Brother Branham the way other people think they should. I got put out of the message again this past week for about the 10 millionth time. Because at Brother McClintock's memorial service the other day, I opened this sanctuary up for people to visit. I'm going to tell you folks something. I hope that's all that I have to answer to God for. Is the family that came here to visit Lola and those kids, and I didn't know any other way to do it. But I thought it turned out very nice. But some people were offended by it, and for that I'm very sorry. And it's not because I disobeyed Brother Branham, but it's because I disagreed with somebody's interpretation of what Brother Branham said. I've told you folks before that when I went to Jeffersonville and I'd go in the tabernacle and I'd help Uncle Doc sweep, I'd be careful not to even bump the benches with a broom. And Brother Branham had a wedding rehearsal one night and he left and went home, and Uncle Doc and I were cleaning the church, and I was about halfway back, and I had a dust mop, and I was very carefully dusting the floor and picking up the Kleenex of where people left at a wedding rehearsal. And a voice boomed out from the pulpit, "Brother Perry, where are you staying?" And I tell you what, folks, I thought God had spoke to me. I swallowed my heart and I turned around and looked, and Brother Branham had come back, got out of his car, come in the tabernacle, and was standing there asking me where I was staying. And it so shocked me and was so contrary to what I'd been taught about church order that I turned and said, "In Clarksville." He said, "Where?" I woke up to the pulpit and I say very softly, "At Holiday Inn over at Clarksville." He said, "Let's have breakfast in the morning about 7, okay?" Well, we'd had breakfast that morning down at Jerry's and got interrupted so many times, we didn't get to talk about whatever he wanted to talk to me about. And I go home that night and to the Clarksville Hotel Motel over there, Holiday Inn, where I'm staying, and I walk the floor all night long. What's Brother Brown want to talk to me about? Why is he so important to me have breakfast with him in the morning? And I've told you folks the things that happened. That's when he drew the markings about the tent on a napkin. That's when he told me about Brother Walker and his white horse dream and pointed out Brother Coleman and them. Supernatural things occurred that day. But Brother Branham violated church order to the 10th degree. "Brother Green, where are you staying?" Well, according to what he said, the Spirit of God left that place and will never come back again. So, again, I'll tell you folks, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I think there's some way we need to get our balance. I think we're worshiping the form of something and not the spirit of it. Uncle Doc told me of an incident where right after church order was introduced, he came in the back door of the church and he was a janitor, and he came down the aisle and he did what he had to do, and as he started back, there's a colored sister that said about midways back by the post there, and when he got even with her, well, she just stood up and shook his hand. He stopped and shook her hand. And a couple of deacons met him at the back door and told him, said, "You do that again, we'll have you arrested for disturbing the peace." So he asked Brother Branham about it. And here's Brother Branham's reaction. They can't do anything right. Now, that either happened or Uncle Doc lied to me. And Uncle Doc asked his brother, "Bill, what would you do if you was walking in that sister's stop?" He said, "Well, I'd stop and speak to her." He said, "Is that what your deacons did?" Now, what does that mean? I just don't want to have church order like that. That to me is not church order. But that has become righteousness to people. Now, I don't believe in cutting up and playing in the church and kids running around and all that, but I do believe you can speak to somebody. I believe you can talk to somebody as long as you realize where you are and what you're doing. Love the brethren. Let's live a life and conduct so that angels can come sit with us. Sure can't do it if you're looking at it. Take somebody to the justice of the peace. You believe these angels will still bear us up? Does God, has God sent them to do that for us? What about chapter 4, verse 12? Or is it 13? No, it's 11. You got the next one there? 4:11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Amen.
This is, they came to Jesus. How many times have you needed comfort when the devil got through working you over? This one meant an awful lot to me, even Sunday. No, it wasn't Sunday, it was yesterday. I got beat up on a telephone. And this verse of scripture was on my list. When I got to that, I said, "Lord, that's what I need right now, is I need some massaging by some angels. I'm hurt. Not physically, but inside. People can really beat you up." Then chapter 13, verse 39, Jesus tells a parable. And he's talking about the sower. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And excuse me, but that is this day.
Amen. Yes.
That is this day we live in.
Yes.
And the reapers are the angels. Not in the beginning of the church age, not in 1000, not 1500 AD, not 1900. 2010.
Yes.
If there's any reaping, it's going to be the angels.
Right.
Now, what are you going to do if you don't believe in them? Chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 41. This is one I've given you before, but it's a prophecy. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Look at chapter 16, verse 27. The Son of Man, 16:27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. So he's not coming alone. Is that what he says? But he's coming with his holy angels. Chapter 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. I think that's where we particularly need to be very, very careful how we treat children and widows. Because they're always looked out after by angels. Amen. 22:30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So the angels are not humans. Brother Bram said they don't even sing Amazing Grace. They don't know what it is. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. You know what the angels do? They just say, glory, glory, glory. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. They've been saying it from the beginning, and they're still saying it, and they still haven't got His holiness declared.
Amen.
We could also say that about the love of God, and we still wouldn't have it said. Chapter 24, verse 31. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Yes.
Chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven. But remember, they know all the other things that's in the world. Chapter 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And Daniel saw 10,000s × 10,000s × 10,000s. That runs into the billions. Chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
Right.
See, at one time, Satan, Lucifer, was an angel. Till he was cast out, and there were some that was cast out with him. That's the reason hell is not eternal.
Yes.
It's because it was created for them.
Amen.
It was prepared. Chapter 28, verse 2. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?
Yes.
You see, He went to the cross voluntarily. Nobody made Him go.
Right.
Nobody took His life. Nobody killed Him. He went voluntarily. Chapter 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. That's the resurrection.
Amen.
Verse 5. The angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now that's just the book of Matthew. Now you may say, Brother Green, I've read those many times. But I want you to read them again. And I want you to meditate on them.
Yes.
Think about what you're reading. And allow the angels of God to give you wisdom. Why did they feel this way? Where did that thought come from? Why do they believe in this angel? It never had happened before to them. Why do they believe that?
Amen.
You can't just get up and say, I believe in angels. You're going to say, that's what the Scripture teaches. But then as the things begin to occur, you're going to begin to understand what's happening and the edification of them.
Amen.
We'll take Mark, Luke, and John. There's more angelic experiences in Luke than the other book in the Bible except Revelation. Now, the angels in Revelation, they go between messengers and men, and ones with particular things of vows or to do and so forth. But the rest of the New Testament is the experiences in the beginning of the Gospels, telling us the times when angels did until the church came into existence in the book of Acts. And then we read about Peter, Paul, James, John, Philip. Why did Philip go down into the desert? Because an angel came to him. And I tell you, if you take those angelic experiences out, you got no book of Acts.
Right.
We're supposed to have a book of Acts.
Yes.
Do you believe in angels?
Amen.
Do you believe they have anything to do with you?
Yes.
Then let's look at these scriptures, and as we go through them, let's let the wisdom that those angels have begin to teach us. You got a problem with one of your kids? I want you to know that child has an angel. And that angel knows things about that child you don't know. So you don't pray to that angel, but you seek for wisdom. And you know what? They know, and they'll give you leadership what to do. And then because you have the Holy Spirit, that will give you the ability to love as Jesus loved.
Amen.
Oh yes, we want the power of God, but do we want His likeness?
Yes.
Without His likeness, those angels won't stay around us. They will help us to draw near to God.
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank You so much for the scriptures that You've given us. For You and Your infinite wisdom given us the writers of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and those people that had those experiences that we believe were of You. Lord, I believe that there were many things happening in people's lives that were of You, that we don't have a written record of it, we call Bible. But I believe they occurred. I think there's a book of Acts written right now. And maybe we have hesitated to recognize that it was You sending Your angels to minister to us. So I ask You, Lord, well, first of all, I thank You, Lord, for the experiences I've had, because I want to say, in the presence of witnesses, I believe Your word is true. And I thank You for that You've allowed me to experience these things so that I can understand them, so that I can pass it on to others, and I'm sure I'm going to be edified when I hear what You've done with others. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds. Visit us. Minister to us. And may we humbly follow the leadership of Your Spirit in the presence of Your angels and rejoice that they're there to help us, because they protect us. They're with us. They guide us. They deliver us when we need physical deliverance. You have told them to watch after us. May we not resist their safekeeping. And when You do send them to gather us, and when they come with You, may we not reject Your visitation. I ask it in the name above all names, your name. The name that there's not one greater under heaven, Jesus Christ. Amen. While you're seated, let's sing, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Stand with me now. Heavenly Father, and again, Heavenly Father, I dismiss you tonight, I'm going to be selfish and ask all of you to pray for me. Just pray that the Lord will increase my faith, that I can believe that I can be delivered from this thing. Amen. Because I will tell you right now, I am hurting right now very bad. I don't think I doubt God's word. I'm not asking you to come forward, lay hands on me, anything else, but I want all of you to pray for me. You talk to the Lord in your own way. Lord, I believe you've heard my prayer. You know my condition and you know why I am what I am tonight. But hear somebody's cry for my behalf tonight, Lord. And let me touch the hem of your garment. And you just say, amen.
Amen.
He is the healer. Lord, I need you right now, Janice. Lord, I need you. I need you right now. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. One more, just another touch, Lord, from thee. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. To help in hard trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, when I get a touch, Lord, from you. Yes, again. Oh, just to have in hard trials I go through, though dark may be the night, it brings a ray of light. As you're dismissed tonight, continue to pray for one another, but God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. You're dismissed. I love him so. I love him.